like to welcome everybody out tonight to the Daniel Town Council meeting. Monday, April 1st, 6:00 PM, 6:15 actually. Wasatch County Service Building, Conference Room B, 55 South, 500 East, Heber City, Utah. And like I say, just like to welcome all of you here, appreciate you being here. We'll go to agenda item number one.
Did you do any public comment? Agendas for the table?
Have we got any public comment? Okay. Let's go to agenda item number two, which is the ARPA funds allocation discussion. And if you guys remember, last month Mary came in and talked to us about some items and some places where we could put this ARPA money. And we have to have this allocated by the end of April. And so this discussion tonight will be where we're going to allocate these ARPA funds. We don't actually have to use them until December 31st, 2026. But we have to have them allocated this evening somewhere so that we can get those put in the proper places. I've also, in our Friday meeting, I asked Eric if he would take a few minutes and discuss where he feels like some of these ARPA funds need to be utilized in the town also. And so we're going to turn a little bit of time over to Eric and let Eric talk about one more area that we could allocate some of these funds.
So it seems like a lot of money. It's not. So these are just, I just went through a list and listed off things that I know we could spend it on. And this is just possibilities. There's a bunch of lines at the bottom for you guys that you guys have the ultimate decision on that. The thing that makes his funds different than most funds we get is these are available to residents. So if a resident wanted to apply to the town for these funds, that is a use for these funds. So you'll see on that list, I have homeowner replacement. We talked about on the other side, the meters. If the homeowner wanted to replace that, then this money can be, they can apply to the town and you can give those funds to homeowners to help pay for that side of that we're talking about. Wow. on their side. So not leaving out the wells, because some wells probably could have some lead also. So the same thing, and I don't know, that would be something you would have to decide how much of a percentage you wanted to do. If you wanted to do 75 or 90, you could do 100, but I think that that's an incentive to get those lines changed that we're talking about that are of concern. The other item, so I'll just tell you how I come to those numbers, because that's probably the next question. How did you come up with 30? So the 30 comes from our lead and copper, Adura's grant application. Their estimate is there's 30 hookups in the town that will have lead. That's what we put on our grant application. So I just carried that number over. That's where I come up with that number. We have 1,000 residents in the town. The Treasury has told us that we can use the number 3 for each household. So that puts us up at 333, basically, and 0.33 houses in the town. We don't have to count them. That's what the number they said you can use. Okay, so impacted qualifying residents, they give us their income level of when they will qualify. Residents that make less than $65,888 are impacted residents, is what they call those. Disproportionately qualifying is less than $40,626. Okay, so there's nothing, once you have those numbers, you don't have to, it's, you're in. So that, I think that that hits a demographic that maybe we're concerned with.
Okay, so the first one was less than 60,000?
65,880.
65. And did you give another one?
And disproportionately is 40,626.
46, 40646?
626.
626.
And so you'll know that we have them funded as 127,000. You start adding that up on the back of that sheet, and we don't have enough money.
Yeah.
So, I do have some extra coffee that you can just hand it down. So you know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So those are just some of the things along with Mary's letter. She had some things in there, but that was just, I just tried to make it easy because it's, you know, we get to that point where we have so much to spend. We have a lot, I mean, we could do this 10 times over in the town. We haven't talked about roads, we haven't talked about infrastructure. There's just a ton of things that we need money for. But this one is winding down, so we need to get it allocated. And I'd like to see us, if we do this, is keep it general. Because you'll see on that list, leveraging fund for a grant. So if we say the water system, we don't have to have it under contract until December. So we can still move it around a little bit. We just have to say where it's going.
Yeah.
They just don't want it sitting in the account. So that's basically what this list is. And that's, I mean, there's a lot of things you guys have to take into consideration. There's a lot of needs in the town. And hopefully, we can get that dialed in and get, so this will give you at least a starting point.
So how much total do we have to allocate tonight?
127,000.
127,000.
And some change,
000.
Like 127,634.
127,464.
Okay. You're right, that goes fast.
Yes, it's not enough to do what we need to do, but we can't sit on it and send it back. That wouldn't be good either. Mm-hmm. So I hope that helps. You have any questions for me?
You answered one of my questions, and that was, is if we allocate it to one place, can we move it to another? And you kind of alluded to that.
If we do general to the waters, I think we can move within the water system because we have to be under contract. And once it's under contract, then we can't move unless the contractor defaults on that contract.
Right.
Then you can still move it. But that's going to pretty much lock us in December of this year. And then 26, like the mayor said, it has to be spent.
So if you look at the list that Mary went over with us last month also, she says this is not an exhaustive list, but an of eligibility projects, but merely some suggestions. One of her suggestions was water infrastructure also, almost anything that the state revolving fund would qualify for. Division of drinking water, there's lead and copper, broadband availability for residents, and then obviously surface and transportation projects on maintenance of roads. So we can use some of that for road projects also, but if you know, you look back here, we've been trying to work on a grant, work on getting some funding, that would be money that we could utilize for matching grant also, or if we had some money that we had to put up with that. So I would like to have a discussion about this and have some suggestions and pretty much well allocate this money this evening if we can. So just open it up to the council and for any comments or discussion.
Well, I like that we can be a little bit general with it and say something like for water infrastructure and remediation, and then use it where it's really needed.
So I'd like to maybe hear from Eric and Pam where they think it ought to go. Pam, you're on the planning commission, right? And Eric is, you have a bird's eye view of all of this, and we only got so much. Do you guys have suggestions on what you think would be good use of the funds?
What's the biggest need as you look at this list? I don't know the biggest need in the town, to be honest. Water, roads, I mean, can we rank them somehow? And the one that needs the most. I really like the idea of people that are financially strapped and they're going to have to do something to their homes to help them is really a nice idea too. Because if you can't afford it, you can't afford it, right? They're going to go without food or something that's probably pretty necessary for them. So that would be my comment. Which of these, I mean, roads are not the best in our town, but I don't know anything about the water system. I have a well, so I don't pay much attention to them. So is it a big need? I guess that's my question. What is the biggest need?
Well, I think the needs are there for everything. I mean, we have Stormhaven Bridge. I mean, it's in decay, and there's a spot right there that if that bridge went down, we would have people trapped. They couldn't get out.
To be the Baltimore all over again.
Yeah. There's uses all over the town, and again, the sewer system, the water system up there is a high need.
Yeah.
We've got so much, it's just too bad we don't have a lot more.
So. And even the internet, is there no internet in Stormhaven? How can you work from home?
We are very much in this little gully, and the trees are so tall that we have trouble with connectivity. Mm-hmm. We do have options, but I think I was under the understanding that we had Utah broadband up there. That if it was available in the town, why wouldn't it be available in Stormhaven?
Yeah.
So it's available in the town, but they have not ran the lines up there.
Okay.
So if you have Utah broadband up there, it's through the satellite.
Oh.
So you don't have the fiber line.
Okay.
Yeah. And so in fact, we just got a application to run it on Tiancum Road. So they're still working through the town getting it. The trunk lines are ran, but they are still running through the town. Eventually they'll get there, but we could sure sweeten the pot with some of this if it was
Have they gone up Big Hollow Road?
Not all the way.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're around a lot. I think the thing that's different about these funds is we can't get a grant and give it to residents. So this is different money that allows us to pass through and help some of those. If I mean, 30 people, that's what we're talking about. That's just an estimate of $2,500 per, and that's $75,000. I mean, that just eats up a chunk of money quick. And I don't know if it'll be more or less. I'm not sure what it'll be for replacement.
Probably more.
It's never less, is it?
I haven't ran into that very often.
But anyway, those are just some ideas. And I didn't get on the list. We talked about a generator for running, you know, and so there's just a ton of things. And that's why, like I said, the lines are at the bottom. If you guys got some ideas, I was just trying to push start the thing, so.
So, to the water issue, I went ahead and got a quote. We talked about, you know, meters not being able to.
I just so you know, I just texted all of you what he sent me because I wasn't able to print it out. So if you look on your cell phones, then you can see what he's discussing.
They put this together kind of fast.
It's from Corin Maine.
From Corin Maine, which is Master Meter.
You tell us, Gary, what you're looking at, so these folks know.
So it's a quote, and they quoted this at 250 meters, and I couldn't remember how many meters we're reading. We're reading about 240 or
264.
264. So they quoted it at 250. So that quote would be a little bit low, but as you look over here on it, so the price, I can't read my own phone because it won't be larger. That's all. Let's go out and come back.
Here, do you want mine?
Okay, so we're looking at, and in this quote, what this is basically doing is replacing the registers only. And these would go, the reading on these would go to a cloud network, and we would get charged, if you look in there, it's about 83 cents per reading per month on the cloud.
How much, Gary, sorry?
83 cents. The meters are, there's a total price, what was it? $164.51 for the new registers per meter.
100,000?
So when they get all this totaled up, that you can see on all this.
160.
We're looking
per meter.
We're looking at.
Oh, per meter, $100.
Yeah, $100. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said so total. I was going to the total.
The total of everything to get it.
We made it anyway.
The total of everything to get us up and running minus the cost to change the registers out. And that, you know, if we use Ron, I don't know what his, if he was doing per meter or per hour, I don't know what.
Yeah, he was per meter.
He was doing per meter. Do you remember how much that was?
It was $20.
So he said he would do that for the same price per meter or for each register. So that's not included in that price, but to get the stuff from Matchmere, Poor Main, and comes in at $100,152, 50 cents. And that's pretty close to, but you're saying we're reading 260 though? So
264.
So that'd be another,
or close.
Another 14 meters on top of that at $164 or whatever it was I said. $165 per meter. So that's just something you can look at. I mean, that falls within the $127,000. If we wanted to replace the whole meter, it would be an additional $40 on top of the $164. So that'd be $200 and something. But they said they would be more than glad to come and explain exactly how it worked. In the operation of the thing, we use the same computer, the same thing, other than we pick this, I don't understand all the technology, but how it picks it up out of the cloud, and you can read it, and there's a lot of features there that don't really, you know, we don't even need to worry about, but at least in my opinion. But there's also the meter life on the accuracy is only about 20 to 25 years. And the percentage of accuracy, I don't think that affects us as a town, you know, if it's a 1% less read on the meter because of the inner works of the meter. But there's still about 15 years left on that, 12 years, I guess it is. But they can come, they would be glad to come anytime and explain that to us if that was an option you wanted to look at. So that was just, I don't know what the plan of the town is for, you know, when they all fail, which is going to happen here pretty soon. So if you don't want to read the meters, that's, you know, that's the decision to make.
Yeah.
They are all going to fail.
One thing though is if we do that, it seems like it helps the residents that are on the water system, and it doesn't really help those that are on the well.
Well, it does nothing for anybody on the well.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if we should use this money that helps the town more broadly than just the well water or the water system folks.
Well, if at some point, I mean, I've been trying to see about getting upgrades and stuff on these for almost 4 years, but the thing is you're going to reach a point in time, at least my opinion, you're going to reach a point in time, you're going to say, okay, all we're going to do is we're just going to charge our customers whatever the rate is you're going to be per month, and you won't have any overflow, you won't have no way to read them. It's plain and simple. Eric knows that.
Yeah, I understand there's really issues there, and that we need the new meters, and I get that. I just wonder if this money should be used to do that.
Yeah, right, yeah. I talked to Ryan.
Can I make a comment about that? It basically saves us from having to go out and pay somebody to go read those meters, which basically benefits everybody in town, because that means there's dollars available to go back and do other things.
Well, I disagree with that. I think the meters that are getting read should be paid by those that are having their meters read.
Well, if my figures are anywhere in the ballpark, based on what it costs a month to read them, basis the 83 cents to go to the cloud type thing.
Oh, I think that's a great deal.
Is almost sixes, I think.
Or cheaper.
Over a year's period of time.
Yeah.
What does it cost us to read the meters monthly now?
So it's costing, right now, today, yesterday, it cost the town $200.
A month?
Yes.
And we have, how many hook, 264?
264.
Okay, so it would be.
It's about sixes.
It's close, but looks like it's a little bit more through the cloud. But that also involves putting either drilling a hole or buying new lids, and that's not included in that quote, but you could get them in order to get an antenna on the top of the lid. I mean, if you go around, you see a lot of, you know, places in town that's what they have. They have the little rubber round black disc in the top of the lid. So you'd have to have that in order to get it to go to the cloud. But like I say, if that was an option, something you wanted to look at more and get more details, you guys could ask them questions. They said they'd be more than glad to come up and explain that to you. But that is a possibility. And in talking with Ryan Taylor just a little bit, you know, there's other, you know, his feelings was is there was projects like it's listed here that maybe put that money towards that instead, because it's still not easy, but fairly easy to get the grant money for water systems.
Yeah.
So I you know, that's whatever.
So realistically, Gary, I mean, this 100,152, I mean, it could be 20,000 more by the time we get the right lids with the antenna that reads in that.
In his discussion, I think he was saying possibly another 10,000 for all that. But I'd want them to present that to you guys.
And I just did a quick calculation on the 20. It's 5,280 to change those registers at 20.
How much?
5,280.
Okay, yeah.
I just did a quick calculation.
Yeah. So that would be on top there too. So that would be.
Yes, we're.
I'd just about take it all.
It'd be close.
Yeah, we're upwards of 15 to 20 on top of this.
When you
right
talk
here
about the installation. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no matter what you do, at whatever point in time you decide to do it, you're always going to have that installation cost.
Correct.
The thing with the registers is it's, I don't know, I didn't know he was doing it per meter, but time-wise, it's a lot easier to change the register than it is the whole meter, time-wise, you know. If he's just doing it, if he'd do the whole thing, if he'd change the whole meter, but the discussion I had with him was that he would do it for the same price, but he was just changing registers. Yeah. Brittany?
Yeah, that's all he did last time.
Yeah, that's all
he
did.
It was $20
changing registers.
Which I thought it was way cheap.
It is.
If you don't think it is, you should change one.
Go talk to somebody else but they'll charge you to do it.
Yeah.
It's more like $50 to $60. So.
Yeah, I helped him change four or five of them last year when he was here changing them, and
yeah,
$20 is cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised he'd do it for 20, to be honest with you.
Upside down in that hole is no fun.
Yeah, I changed four or five with him, and after four or five, I was.
Well, his verbal commitment was he'd do it for whatever, the same price. I didn't ask him what it was, because I wasn't sure. Anyway, that's another option I just wanted to bring up.
Okay. Any other thoughts? So like I say, I would like to have this allocated somewhere this evening. Two different places, one place, whatever your thoughts might be. And if we're ready to make a motion, I'd call for a motion on where we allocate this.
So we mainly talked about these water meters. Are there other things on the roads? What would we do for the roads? Do we have a 127 wouldn't go too far, but would we fix Big Hollow or would we fix Daniel Road? Or do we have an idea there? Do we just say put it towards roads?
Well, so I'll talk a little bit about roads because I've spent a little bit of time with Kevin Davis the last few months, who's Wasatch County. He took Brandon Clough's place, and we back in about October we rode around the town, and there were multiple holes in the road, and he cold patched all of those. He cut the cold patch was about $125, and then he charged us two men for X amount of hours to patch the holes. While I was riding around with him, I asked him to quote us a price to put a berm, put a gravel.
Seal coat?
Not on the road, but just on the edges. An apron on all of the edges. And he told me that he would get us a price this spring to do that. The county basically charges you piece rate, which is about $171 an hour, and obviously material. And so we get some money off of we do get some tax money that's road money. We have to save a few years in order to do a major road project. And Eric, if I'm saying anything wrong, you straighten me out.
That's not my job.
But
not your job description.
So
straighten out the mayor.
what I would say as far as the roads in the actual town of Daniel, yes, there's a couple of roads, Big Hollow Road's in pretty rough shape. The rest of them aren't in terrible shape, I don't think. I mean, we have filled some holes. We have the county that's willing to work with us, which you take the county price based on getting anything bid. Now, I know if we're going to go do a road project, we have to go to bid. We'd get a couple of bids because that's probably just the right thing to do. And the county is more than willing to help us. They plow our roads. They know where things are. We patched a few holes up in Storm Haven. There's a little bit more work to do on that one little corner right there where you come up off that turn, and I've talked to Kevin about that. And so really some of this money, yeah, it could be used for roads, but I mean, are our needs in the water system probably a little more pressing than our roads, I think. But that's just my opinion. But we do have the county that's willing to work with us. We would have to put other items out for bid as far as like a total resurfacing. Last year, if you remember, Heber City chip sealed the road down to Wheeler Road. They own half the road, we own the other half of the road. They asked us if we would go in on that with them. We did. Our cost on that from Wheeler Road down past the church on Daniel Road was about $10,000 is what our portion of that chip seal was. And on that road, they're also going to put an apron on that of gravel, which I haven't seen that done yet, but I assume that that'll be done this spring when they come back to do everything. So there's kind of an update on the roads. The county did tell me that Big Hollow Road, they owned the center of the culvert on the back ditch. They own from the center of the culvert south.
That's what the best part of the road is.
Yeah. And the rest of it from the center of the culvert to 3,000.
Is us.
Well, there's probably a couple other players in there too. I think Heber City might have a little interest in that. Because yeah. I think they pulled some gravel out of that gravel pit too.
So. Yeah, their name's on there. They own part of that gravel pit.
They own part of that. So that, I don't know that that was public knowledge until just recently when I've been doing a little poking around. But
So just on that bridge in particular, is we tried to put that on our FEMA list, and the county told us flat out that's their bridge. They own the entire bridge. So I don't know who's telling you the middle. They didn't want it on our FEMA list.
That was Brandon. But Brandon's retired now, and so we'll have to talk to Kevin.
Yeah, they wouldn't let us put it on because that would have been in our FEMA plan, and they told us that's in the county. You can't have that in your plan. I said, hey, fix your bridge.
So we do have some potential in the roads, you know, but really, I think for the most part, you know, our roads are in fairly decent shape right now, and there'll be some patches that we'll need to do this spring. But that's what I think.
Did Ryan mention to you about kind of a joint effort with Midway City that they were going to chip seal all of their roads? And
he did. Ryan did call me and talk to me about that.
Okay.
Midway is going to redo all of their roads. Wanted to know if, well, he said there was an opportunity to ask them to piggyback on that. I mean, they didn't open it up to just get on it. But Ryan said that he could go to them and say, hey, you know, the town of Daniels would like to, you know, piggyback on that with you. And so, yes, there was a little bit of discussion about that.
But there was never any dollar value?
Never a cost per foot or, you know, how much that was going to cost to do that.
So those bids that they do, if we know how many legal feet we need, then they'll bid that. They'll go in the bid, but they won't give you, because it costs a lot of money to set up, so they don't want to come do 5,000 square feet. They want you to get it in there. So we'll get the same price as Midway, but we have to give them that information that we want this much done before the bid, which brings the overall bid down. So everybody saves money. They save money, we save money, because it looks like a big project, even though it's separate. But when that comes up, you guys will have to decide where and how much we're doing for those bids. But that they'll put it right in the bid that we can jump in with that. And that's how a lot of municipalities are saving a little bit of money.
Yeah, and one of the issues with the Big Hollow Road has been, never even before we became a town, was the simple fact that the width of the road didn't meet the specifications. Nobody wants to go to court to try to, you know, get that fixed one way or the other.
Takes off of tons.
Which side of the road, you know? I mean, that was the issue, and that's why the county never—they just feel bottled, and that's why we just feel bottled, you know. Is that it does not meet the minimum specification for the width of the road.
I know Gary Waite went back and did some very in-depth title work on that, and basically we don't own any kind of a legal right-of-way on that road, on that particular road, because I don't know, when the county or whoever constructed the road, basically they did not secure the traditional rights-of-way that you would secure on a road like that. And so we don't have much of a leg to stand on in terms of being able to enforce any kind of right-of-way, or a better right-of-way than what we've got. But I think roads are something that basically we can, we will continue to see increased costs as well as water. But if you lose a road, or for example, like a Little Sweden, they overlaid, I think, 2 inches of asphalt over the top of the existing road, and now that, that it's like flaking, I mean, cement, that, that top layer is beginning to disintegrate. And so if you begin to lose the road, then it becomes somewhat catastrophic, because as the mayor points out, we don't have enough money in our PNC road funds to really do a meaningful project unless we do continue to do good maintenance. And I don't know how long it's been since that original chip seal was done, Mayor, you might know, but it was terrible. I mean, it was just, the rocks were gone weeks after. And I don't know whether they put the wrong mix of oil or whether the temperature was wrong or whatever it was, but that chip seal did not hold at all. And so now, what I think what we're beginning to see is the tip of the iceberg on that Little Sweden road, because there's so many heavy trucks going up and down that road. And it's just beginning to disintegrate. And I think, yes, the cold patches served us well through the winter. But I'm noticing already those holes are starting to widen open again. So we could put the money on roads, we could put the money on water. Both of them, I think, are huge needs. And I don't really, at this point in time, I really don't think it makes much difference where we put it. As long as we target it for something, then we've got to enter into some kind of an agreement. And maybe this chip seal contract with Midway might be an opportunity for us, Mayor, to investigate, see what type of cost per linear mile of to chip seal some of our worst roads, especially Big Hall. We've got to get more work on that road, because I think the same thing. We're just going to continue to put good money after bad, just plugging potholes. Yeah.
At some point it needs to be done, right? We talked right. about aprons, we talked about widening, and the problem is those county trucks go on and off the road because they can't fit. It just eats away at the asphalt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's not much road there that's worth saving.
No.
No. It needs to be road milled and then a good base and others start over. And I think we would have participants on that. I think the county would step up and probably provide either material or something like that. And if Heber City owns a portion of that bid, we certainly could go to them and use this as our match to do the Big Hall Road.
So, and on the roads, I mean, what I've noticed mainly on Big Hall Road, that's totally. But, like on Daniel Road, going around the cracks that were sealed a couple of years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's been about four, honestly.
Has it
now
been four?
Anyway, Chip was the mayor when they did that chip seal project, and
those cracks are now three times the size
yeah,
they were.
Yeah, it's been 3 to 4 years ago when that last crack chip seal was done. So.
Well, I'm talking about just when they was trying to seal the cracks.
Has
that been that long ago?
It has been that long ago.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that was on the same project.
Yeah, that was, and we contracted, the town contracted with an outfit out of Ogden to do that, and they come in late in the fall to do that. I mean, it was kind of a...
Well, that's when you want it to do. You want the road to shrink. In the summer, all those cracks are tight, and in the winter, they widen out when it shrinks. So they want it cool when they do that tar.
But the workmanship was just terrible.
Yep.
There was more gravel on the sides of the road than there ever was on the surface.
Ryan actually called them and tried to get them to come back and fix some stuff. And they came down and they fixed some stuff, but they didn't fix everything they needed to fix. And, He tried to get them to warranty some of their work, and it was kind of a bad deal. I just got on the tail end of that when. So.
Well, it never adhered to the existing road. That was plain and simple. Once snowplows plowed, it all came off. And I mean, it was obvious.
So let me ask you a quick question. I mean, half of that money that we've got out, that we've got, that $127,464, half of it, $63,737, or $732, does it make sense to split that up in two areas? Water, roads, or no?
I'd like to talk about one other project, and then again, it's not a citywide project, but Storm Haven needs storage in a water system. I don't know even if we had, I don't know how much storage we can buy for that amount of money, but I think we can probably leverage some grant funds from the Division of Drinking Water and use this as our match to put in maybe $100,000 storage tank. I don't know, something along that line that would give us a long-term fix to a problem that is just going to continue to exacerbate. And I don't know, that to me is the sore thumb right now. That's sticking out and it's really glaring. And if we have a fire and up there and we try to see if we can provide some water whatsoever, there just isn't any. And I just think we need to really, and if we just, I hear where you're going, Mayor, put some in the water, put some in the road, but I would really like us to put a pencil to, and maybe Ryan can do that, what would be a good number for a storage tank that we could put down there, even if it's close to the well site, and dig up the old one, enlarge it multiple times, I don't know, but provide some ongoing storage for water for Storm Haven.
Robin, do you think 127 would even touch doing something along those lines?
Well, if we were to, and I notice on our agenda is our discussion regarding our water rates as well. I mean, I think these things all probably ought to be in the same discussion, but we cannot, I think, in good faith, look residents of Storm Haven in the face and say, you know, we've done the best we can for your system. I don't think we've done the best we can, and I think $127,000 on a state normally goes a 50-50 match, but in this case, if we were leveraging a little bit of money that would come in from the additional raise of our rates, a portion of that, I think we could probably come up with about $500,000 project. I really do. And with the state putting up as much as 50% to 2/3 of that as a grant. So, but we've got to raise our rates basically before we go to anybody and ask them for money for water, because that's the first thing they're going to tell us, per our visitors that came last month and told us that our rates are not in keeping with whether other communities our size are paying, and also the state would ask us probably to raise our rates if we were to go after any water. So, I don't know, we certainly have tons of need, but I think if we can kind of zero in on one project that we think we can really make a difference on, I don't know, it seems like to me that would be, like I say, a worthwhile project. And then we can say we put the money where we're going to get a return on the investment long term.
So on that line, where are we? I mean, I've heard discussion for the last couple of months off and on about we were going to get some property across the road up there above Storm Haven to put a tank on. Is that where does that sit?
Well, last time I talked with Ryan, he was high on probably working with the neighbors to the south. They had come in with some type of meter. You can probably give us more information on that. But the Oakleberries wanted to. We're kind of interested in some connections up there if they were to subdivide some of the ground that they have to the south. And part and parcel of that, Gary, would be that they would come in and contribute significantly to an improvement to the system if they were to get like a half dozen water hookups or something along that line. So Ryan was working with them on a site up on the bench to the west, that they would donate some ground there. Yes, there was an acre of ground that was offered by Staker Parsons.
Yeah.
But we've just
so we
done zero on that.
Nothing's happened with that. Then.
Nothing has happened, and it's been almost 3 years since we did that. So
the problem with going, at least the problem I would see, and Ryan could tell you that, going further east or up the canyon a little further in the Stormhaven hole there in that area is we don't gain much in elevation.
That was the beauty of the Staker Parsons site. It was right across the street from the well.
Right,
we would have to bore into the highway. Yeah. But at least that gets us at least maybe phase one of upgrading that Stormhaven system.
Right.
And then phase two and three might be we had bumped down and start enlarging the size of the lines, putting some few fire hydrants in, and then I think we can kind of start eating this elephant. But
so we have not secured any written thing that says we've got a place to put a tank across the highway.
I have all of that ready to go, but like I say, it was we were putting the cart before the horse because we couldn't. We went out, held some public meetings to see the level of interest on behalf of the Stormhaven residents to do some significant improvements, and that was, you know, it was a little iffy. But nonetheless, we thought that we could put in a storage tank for, you know, approximately $500,000. All this is speculation, but we've got till 2026 to enter into contracts. And so in the meantime, we could do some homework, even if we just said the money was going to just go to water. But down the road, we find out, we can't make that work. I think we could easily find a ton of road projects to get this money spent on.
Yeah, I think in years gone by, I think we were talking somewhere around a 250,000-gallon tank.
At the time we spec'd it was 300,000. That was what Brian said we needed for fire flow.
Right, that's what I was going to say, to get the fire flow. So.
But even if we put in one satellite tank and then put in a second satellite tank, should we come upon some money to be able to enhance lines and fire hydrants, at least we've taken some step in the, you know, in a positive direction.
Well, and there is an option of, it's a cheaper option, I believe, it still is, I'm not sure, a different type of tank than having a concrete tank built. There's other types of tanks that could be put in there, you know, and then we'd have to bury it type thing. But there is a big need there. I mean, the future is just, it is what it is. It's not gonna get any better, it's gonna get worse. And the underground lines that are up there that run from Stormhaven down through clear to Crazy Acres are all but, if you don't play with them, I guess they're okay until they break. But schedule 25 just don't work.
They're woefully undersized. They would never carry
them. Well, it's the schedule 20. I mean, it just we don't run the well, try to put any more pressure on the system than about, 40, 42 pounds, Eric, something like that?
Yeah, we're 42 pounds.
42 pounds for fear of rupturing the schedule 20 pipe.
So let's make a decision on this, what we want to do. So we know Stormhaven needs a lot of water system work, right? I don't know that this money should be used to do that. I think this should be used to help the community as a whole. And then we work on other things to help Stormhaven water to help Daniel Culinary. I don't know that I...
John, what project on here is a citywide project?
I see roads a little more. I see fire capacity. Because that, fire hydrants would protect everybody's home in the town.
Well, we already have fire hydrants and everybody, and down in the... The only ones who don't have fire hydrants are Stormhaven.
Stormhaven.
Yeah, so...
And us.
And you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all over that. But I can't see a project on here, I mean, roads. I mean, there's no question that there are certain roads that some people use 90% of the time and the rest of us use 5% of the time.
Yeah.
So I don't see a project on there that benefits everybody equally.
I don't know about equally either, but I see maybe some that benefit more than just a select group. But I'm just one vote, so let's just decide and maybe, like you said, put it towards water and put it towards road and split it. Maybe Scott said that. And then allocate it specifically down the road.
To a project.
So you look at this paper that Eric has presented. So you got expand the water system and fire flow.
Yeah.
That could be Stormhaven, that could be down at Daniel.
Yeah, that helps a lot of people.
You have access to Stormhaven, roads, bridges. I mean, it seems to me that Eric on this piece of paper he's kind of laid it out to where there's options that we can utilize money for roads, for water on this right here, and we could allocate the total amount to that.
Yeah.
And then we allocate it tonight, and like you say, that gives us a little bit of time to do some research, and we can jockey a few things around if needs be.
So along what you said, Scott, maybe you asked for a motion. I'll put a motion out there that we put zeros on everything, but expand the water system to fire flow capacity at half of the 127, and roads the other half of the 127. And we figure out exactly how that's to be used another day.
But we allocate it to that. So that's your motion.
That's a motion.
Okay. A motion, yeah. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Call for a vote then.
You want to discuss that?
Any discussion?
Yeah. When you say expand water system to flow capacity, what are you talking?
So I don't know that we have to determine that tonight.
You don't.
I know, but what would you be talking?
Well, I think you're just putting it towards a water system, just leaving that broad enough that you can move it within
to,
that water
to system. All water systems.
That's the way I read that. Okay. Right
the,
there.
The only
to improve fire flow or to improve
the water system.
The water system. Stormhaven, and that could be utilized to a tank. That could be. I think that gives
fire hydrants in Stormhaven.
Yeah, that gives us flexibility to put it where we could best utilize it.
So if you're still discussing, Ryan was worried that if we do split it in half, because he thought that would come up, that you will not be able to use. You'll only be able to use half now. If the grant comes through for your water system, because now half has gone to roads.
Yeah.
You can't bring it back in.
So we leave it.
So that's, I just want you aware of that.
So maybe we change the number a little bit. I don't know.
Do we have to specify that number on the percentage of two items? Or can we just say it's going to go either between those two or one? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I don't think we have to do that. I don't think we have to say 50,000 here and 65,000 there. I think we.
No, actually, you do.
You do?
Yeah.
And they're going to ask. They're going to ask for an overall.
And explain how that estimate was obtained.
Budget.
Oh. Okay.
So that will go into that report that's due at the end of this month. Of how you come up with that estimate.
If we put that into the water, would that still be allowed for the lead and copper? Or,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's still. Yeah, the lead and copper is all part of that too.
And the individual compensation could be part of that too.
Yeah, that's why I put it on here. They just didn't know, you know, where they wanted that. I think you would have to pull some out. You wouldn't put it to the water system. I think you'd have to put, you'd have to specify.
Oh, okay.
Because you're gonna want those people to come and apply.
Sure.
And so.
But we don't even know how many.
You don't.
It could be five.
Could be five.
The estimate was 30.
No, that's their estimate.
That's their, yeah.
Their estimate is, you know, United States wide, over 30% of the households in your town will have some lead pipes in their houses.
Well, I talked to Ryan today, and our Dura's estimate was 30 households. I talked to Ryan today.
So that's probably a pretty good estimate.
That's a Dura's estimate, it's not.
And how, I'm just curious how they come up with that.
I don't know. That's just what they put on the grant application, so.
Exactly.
I can only show you, where I got the number.
Yeah.
And I've seen that report that they guesstimate that 30% of the homes in your community will have some issue.
So if we was to make it broad and just say water systems type thing, we could break that up in any percentage we wanted, as long as it was water. Is that right?
I believe that's what we want to do is stay broad.
Yeah.
Without dialing down, because we, in December, it has to be dialed down. In December, that has to be dialed down, and then you have 2 years to spend it.
Right.
Because it's not enough money to do either project.
Right.
So I'm good with splitting it to jumpstart both. The roads and the water. They're both important.
Yeah.
So, let's call for another motion.
But you've got a motion and
you've
discussed it. You should go ahead and vote on that motion.
Okay, you didn't specify a dollar amount. Do you want to do that?
I said 50%.
Okay, so 50% to each.
On roads, 50% on water.
Okay.
That's, like I say, that's $63,737. So, okay, any more discussion? Let's call for a vote then.
Walton, no.
Water, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Yes.
Pearson, no. Well, the fun one's over. Let's go on to the rest of the agenda.
Okay, we're to agenda item number 3.
There were 3 yes votes, just for the record, so the motion carried.
Okay, agenda item number 3, Planning Commission seat appointment and possible swearing in. And so you guys know that we've had a seat open on the planning, and we've publicly noticed it, and we've had one applicant. He's here tonight. I'll read this. It says, "Hello, my name is Heber Taylor, and I am interested in the available seat on the Planning Commission. I have experience in reading construction plans. I have lived at my residence for 40 years. I am for the RA5 zoning, and I want to learn the codes and get involved in the future development of the town. I think my experience and knowledge in life would be beneficial to this commission. Thank you for your time." So, Heber, I'm gonna put you on the spot again. If you want to just come on up here, and if you have any questions for Heber, feel free to introduce yourself, Heber.
My name is Heber Taylor. I live on 227 East, 3000 South. I've been in Heber for a long time. I should say Daniel for a long time. My name is Heber.
No.
You beat your
No.
Okay.
Let's put him in, what do we have to do?
I would make a motion that we accept Keith Taylor as a member of the Daniel Town Planning Commission as of April 1st.
Second.
2024.
Call for a vote.
Walton, yes?
Blair, yes.
Kohler, yes?
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Thank you.
Is that it?
No, we need to do, we need to do an oath of office.
You want me over there, or you want me, where do you want?
You're good.
Okay.
Do you want your wife by your side?
Do you want?
No.
No, she's sending this one out, thank you.
I'm gonna video it.
Are you videotaping, are you playing chess?
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
That means we're in the back.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I, Heber Taylor, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support, to obey, defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state, and that I will discharge my duties of my office with fidelity.
Break that down a little bit.
Okay. I, Heber Taylor, do solemnly swear or affirm.
You want me to, yes, I was gonna say.
Just give him the paper, he can read it.
I, Heber Taylor, do solemnly swear.
There you go.
All right, and affirm that I will support, to obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and of the United States and the Constitution of this state, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. I have one question, what happens with my?
Too late.
Hey, you, after you sign that, you can ask a question.
What do I do with my seat on the Board of Appeals? Because that kind of, that's.
You just lost it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's kind of a conflict, right?
Now we have a vacant seat on the Board of Appeals, and we public notice that.
Yep, it'll be posted in the next.
Okay, well, if that's it, good, then I'm gonna skip out of here.
Thanks for being willing to help.
Thanks, absolutely, thank you guys for appointing me, or swearing me in, or whatever the hell you just did.
We'll see if you thank us in a year.
You know what, I'm sure it's a riot, but you know, I really want to get involved, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, I feel different now, that's why, maybe I feel grown up.
And we're setting you up with a town email, and I'll get you that information and send it to your personal email this week, okay?
We'll see you next Wednesday.
Third Wednesday of every month.
The 17th. Two public meetings, welcome.
It's the third Wednesday of the month.
Thanks, guys.
You're here, thanks. Let's go to business license approvals. We have a one renewal. It is Wes's Auto Repair. Name of the applicant is Wes Sweat, 425 East, 3000 South, Heber City, Utah. Mailing address is the same, and he has a auto repair shop.
I thought I was taking yours.
Motion to approve.
My second.
Call for a vote, see you then.
Walton, yes?
Blair, yes.
Kohler, yes?
Bennett, yes.
Okay, he's been in business for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, agenda item number five, water rate discussion. And I had Kim put this on here just because last month, if you remember, we had the Division of Drinking Water come in. They did a presentation, and they made several recommendations to us. I didn't put this on here because I want a water rate tonight. I just wanted to see if there was any questions or anything that we needed to discuss about the future of where we're going with these water rates.
She's going to email a link to that document. I don't think I got that. Did we get those? Okay.
I'm not sure. Okay. So
we could play around with the rates and look at the different scenarios. I think it's obvious we need to raise the rates, but we need some kind of a formula for what makes sense.
Okay.
And I don't know what that formula is.
Kim, will you reach out to her and send that link?
Yep, I will.
Okay. Eric, do you have anything to add to this?
Well, I mean, we see this and we talk about it and we talk about it for, I mean, this discussion will go on a long time before anything happens. I think if you guys are unanimous that you think the rates need to be raised, I would raise the rates and get something started. So if whatever it is, $3, at least you're $3 ahead. I would move that forward while you're looking at the rates and deciding where they need to be. I would do that. And so that something's looking like you're moving on it, why you do the research on that. There's a lot of information in that study, a lot of variables. I mean, I think that discussion's gonna go for a while.
Me too.
So, but if you do that, then you're raising rates twice on people in a short period of time, which can be more upsetting. You know, like raise 10% plus 15%, 6 months later can be more upsetting than raising 20% at one time or 25%.
Okay.
So
you have to.
There's two sides to that.
I agree. I mean, I think down the road, if as we decide where that's going to go to, one rate raise is better than one every 3 months.
Okay.
I wonder, you know, let's say we up at $5, everyone could maybe roll with that. Then we up it again, we up it again. You know, it's kind of like cooking the frog.
Yeah.
No. So slowly.
So I don't know. But I just hope it's not a big jump is what I'm hoping, I guess. And then one is better. But if we come back and say your water bill just doubled, right? And double is still probably relatively low.
You better get some steel plate on your windows if you do that.
Yeah.
That's why I mentioned that. It might be easier to do $5 and $5 rather than $10.
If it is a big jump, then yeah, that does make some sense.
Well, and I think the reason I wanted this on here is just, you know, we had that discussion last month. I don't want this to phase out and fiddle out either. I think we have that in our minds, and we still need some discussion on this, definitely. I mean, and so we're gonna put this on the agenda for the next little while and then decide which month we're going to, and I like the comment about the link. You know, let's get the link, let's get the information from Jonick, from, was it Janelle?
Janelle.
And
it's a Google sheet. Yeah. Is everybody gonna be able to
manage
that?
Yeah. And maybe even Ryan could come up with, hey, this is where I think you need to be.
I'll talk to Ryan about that.
And
you weren't here, John, but just so you know, you can play around with that spreadsheet and it can look at like the average for just, you know, just basic consumption.
Yeah.
But also if you lower or higher the amount of consumption before you put in incremental prices, and it also considers commercial development.
Yeah.
So it's a big spreadsheet.
Nice.
So you're gonna wanna really look at that since you were here at the presentation.
Yeah,
it has a lot of information. And both Janelle and Mike Davis from Rural Water, they're happy to walk you through it. If any of you have questions or, well, what does this look like and this doesn't seem right to me, that they'll 100% walk you through that. And because it's a Google sheet, they can actually look at that on real time with you to answer any questions.
I don't even think we need to vote on this. Is there any more discussion on this?
Well, I just want to bring up the point that depending on what we're going to do with the water or whatever going forth down the road, we know there's going to be money that needs to be spent. We know that we're going to have to apply for grants. And so we may get dictated to a point of what we really have to do with the rate in order to get a feasible grant to do some of the stuff we need to do. So maybe that kind of goes together hand in hand, I would think, anyway. But Ryan did say that there is availability of grant money for water projects.
I don't think we know what that number is.
No.
And I asked her if she had a recommendation last time. She said no. So.
One thing, commensurate with what you're saying, Barry, is that the other thing that she suggested that we do is that we have an emergency fund equal to 2 years' operating cost. We are not even close to that. So even just to get where we probably should be in case of an emergency or in case of other kinds of issues, she said a traditional rule of thumb throughout most communities is to have 2 years' operating funds put aside in your capital improvement fund. So even if we don't even start on a water project, we probably need to raise the rate just to come into compliance with that.
When you can't get the grants without it, she
well,
said.
Exactly. So it's a two-edged sword.
So you know, we need that savings fund.
Right.
I'll visit with Ryan. Any other comments or anything on that? Thank you. Let's go to agenda item number 6, engineering report. Well, we'll skip number 6. We don't have an engineer here tonight. Let's go to the planning report, number 7. And there's your planning report there in front of you. Do you have any questions for Eric?
I'm curious about the Trinell subdivision application. Haven't heard anything about that.
So he's put in a subdivision application to subdivide that building, and so he can sell off units in the bottom. He has three buyers want to own their unit. They don't want to rent it. So he's turned in an application for that. He also submitted an application for us to change our code that will condominiumize in the commercial zone. So he's able to do that without going through the subdivision application. So he's going both ways. He's pushing with both.
Do you know off the top of your head what part of the code is currently the number? It's 80-something.
For
that would deal with subdividing something
It's small scale subdivision.
Okay.
And so that's what you're dealing with is a small scale subdivision in our code. And I believe that's 821. The new code that they've submitted that will be going to Planning Commission is 10. It'll be Title 10. And so it's basically copied from the county code that allows that to happen in the county.
So do they have a public hearing set for that?
So they
already
did. Yes.
Okay.
And then it will be coming here because obviously that's a legislative action. Yeah. So it'll be coming here and you'll be doing a public hearing also.
What happened with the Planning Commission? Did they
just set the public hearing.
They set the public hearing for the new code and continued the subdivision application.
Well, it's coming
I'm
up.
Talking about Trinell's.
On the 17th, it has been noticed in the wave.
So in essence, what I hear you saying is he wants to be able to subdivide existing buildings or an existing building so that there will be multiple owners.
Right.
And what happens with the, do we not have some living quarters in that?
We do not.
No, not in that property. No.
Yeah, that's a Highway 40 property.
So water, it would be separated.
He's built that for that. Everybody has their own meter, their own gas meter, their own electric.
Did we know that going in though when he built it, or is he throwing us a?
Oh no, yeah, we didn't know that.
This is a curveball.
Yeah, this is something he was going to keep it all, but I think the cost has gone so high that he's just looking at ways to stay afloat and keep, because he still wants the building, but he needs to.
Is there a parking lot?
There is.
How would you define then whose responsibility is to maintain the parking lot?
Well,
we have to have an HOA.
So yeah, we have one point of contact there, and so they do have that written into that code. that we only have one point of contact. And so they do a legal description of the inside.
So the code says that, but is he aware that he would need to form that HOA?
Yes, he's aware of that. In fact, that was one of the options we gave him if he didn't want to go through this process, is he could walk out that door and form an LLC and not have the town involved at all. And that he didn't want to do that, so this is the two options.
Have we crossed this bridge before in any way, shape, or form?
We have not in the town. It was in the code and it was removed when it became a town. Anything that said condominium, it was gone.
So setting a precedent here would mean that if somebody builds a warehouse and later on decides that they want to break that into half dozen separate building plots, we would probably, according to what you say, we've got in our own ordinance or our own code, that would be permissible.
Yeah, so the code that he submitted actually has square footage. So it'd have to be this that big of square footage or bigger. So it keeps them from going to small shops. So the regulation is within that, and it only allows it in the commercial zone.
And each individual business in there has its own building, building permit. Let's get my business license.
They would, yeah.
They would have a business license.
Yeah, even if they was renting or they own it, they would still have to have a business license with the town.
So does the water for that building now come from Twin Creeks?
It does.
And so Quinn Creeks would have the say on whether they would want to extend the amount of water, because it wouldn't be covered under the one hydrant that they have there, correct?
I don't know what arrangements he has with Twin Creeks. They signed a letter and said it was good to go.
Oh, they did?
Yep.
But the amount of people in the building probably wouldn't change, whether they're renting or owning.
Right, and the use would stay the same, so our parking matrix would be the same. He has two more phases on that project, and so he doesn't want to jeopardize the other two phases that he wants to do after. And so he's trying to stay within the parameters to keep that.
So what does the health department say about that?
He's on sewer.
Oh, he is on the sewer?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then each individual would carry their own fire insurance or their own liability insurance.
So that sewer rate would be based on total building usage or each individual?
It's Twin Creek sewer, isn't it?
Yep.
He bored under the road and hooked on to Twin Creeks.
Yep.
So.
Well, just to update you, so I got a call from a potential renter, not somebody who is looking to be an owner in the condominium. They want to do a family fun zone, which I don't know if that's an indoor trampoline park or play space or whatever. And I encouraged them to submit a business plan as soon as possible for the Planning Commission to look at. He was not aware that they were trying to change the code or trying to make that into business condos. So I just gave him the best information I had, and he's planning on coming to the Planning Commission meeting. I told them there was a public hearing and that would be a good place for him to get all his questions answered. I spoke to him for about 20 minutes today.
You know how you spec the parking for that facility based on a commercial use of?
Yeah, so it was our parking matrix was always going to be the five, and it's upstairs small storage with atmosphere. So it's conditioned and heated upstairs in those units. So yeah, our parking matrix, that use is in that matrix.
So if somebody were to go in and have recreation park of some sort, indoor or whatever, and is that when, in your opinion, would we be able to accommodate that kind of parking?
Yeah, we get quite a bit of feedback on our parking matrix that they think it's too high. Brian Balls has brought that up several times to us, that
we have too many, we're higher than what would stay, would require, and that's fallen on deaf ears. We've kept our matrix.
Great, thanks. Well, public hearing on the 17th.
Yes.
And just so you know, I also told him when he did his business plan that there would be concern about people entering the business from Highway 40 versus Little Sweden, and what would they do to encourage people to come off Highway 40 rather than to come up Mill Creek and use Little Sweden to access the
highway. So they would have to see if they can even get an exit or an entrance off of that highway, which would be probably really difficult to do.
Well, right now they appear to be using Little Sweden Road.
They have an access on Highway 40.
Oh, they do have an access?
They do.
Yeah, they
did a shared application with Davis, so there's a shared entrance.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
But I just kind of gave him a forewarning that that would be a concern that would likely be brought up in a public hearing.
Good point.
Okay, any other questions on there, on the planning report? You did get a CEO to Mumford's.
Yes.
That's not on here, but that's...
Nope, it's been taken off because it was on last month.
It was on last month. But,
did you get the complaint in their packet?
No. I did not.
Any other questions?
Oh, yeah. What is this? What's Sky River?
Sky River.
Application for outdoor micro school.
That's a micro school that's applied for a outdoor school at the Charchenko residence.
But have they actually applied, or
yes,
they discussed it? Okay, I haven't seen the application.
Yes, we have an application.
An outside school?
Yeah, it's an outside school. It's a micro school. Without getting too far into depth, the legislature has made that a use. It will go into effect in May, and you cannot restrict it in any zone. Micro schools fall under the same
public
code as a school.
Boy, that's...
We would need to verify that there's ample parking and all those things. They couldn't park on the street and other kinds of things that would basically encumber or damage anybody else's property. The ability to have the school is one thing. The adequacy of the property to handle the school is another thing.
To me, micro sounds very small. Do you know what
that is? 15 and less.
15 or less.
Yes.
But that's still zoned RA5, isn't it?
It is RA5. Yeah. But
so you have to have a zoning change?
No. That's exactly why the legislature said you can go in any zone, because they were telling them you can only be in certain zone. The school district can build in any zone. They say they follow that same umbrella. What happened was the state started giving vouchers, and when they started giving the vouchers to these homeschoolers, they started getting rights with them. And so there's a few, there are some reasons why you can turn it down, but it's very limited.
Under Samantha Mall, down at the bottom, complaints, smoke-laden tar containers, vehicles coming out of the McGuire storage. Did we ever verify that, or have we ever been in to see if indeed somebody's running a business out of one of those storage units?
So we didn't, but we have since the second came in. The second complaint came in, and that has been verified. There is a tar trailer that's in there, and they do pull it out of there.
They're not actually mixing it in there, it's just storing it there? Or?
They're storing it in there.
Okay.
Is it like a crack seal operation?
Yeah. I think
so they just throw a chunk of tar in and go down the road?
Yeah, well, I think it's roofing, actually. So,
same thing.
They're going all winter long here, so I think it's a roofing operation. But
so they're actually heating up the trailer inside that, or doing something in there, or are they?
It's parked outside.
Okay.
It's parked outside.
It's just a point of...
Her complaint is that the Dodge truck that pulls in and out is very noisy. And so the second complaint was more direct. I didn't get that. Apparently you guys all got that.
but I wasn't included in that email. And so when I talked to her, I'm like, what comes second complaint? So she sent that to me. And so I did conduct an investigation, and it is there. And the loud truck wasn't there, it was pulled by a 250 Ford, but.
Would you guesstimate they're running their business out of that?
I would not. I think they're parking there and just driving out to go do their, just like anybody else that has a construction, they get in their truck, they go to work, so.
So it's like once a day?
Yeah, once a day goes, comes back at night.
It's usually around six in the morning, six thirty, they pull in, hooked on to it.
But that has been verified, and that's also something that you'll have to direct me what you want me to do.
Are they doing anything wrong technically, besides being annoying?
Yes, I think that once it becomes an issue, I think it can be classified as a nuisance.
Okay.
Now whether, to what point you want that nuisance, I don't know. That's something you guys have to decide in enforcing your code.
Well, the old saying is nip in the bud.
Well, but is it a bud or is it not? That's what I'm saying. The tractor belling hay makes noise.
Well, do you have a recommendation based on your investigation?
I'll do whatever you guys want me to do. I personally think that if we talk to the McGuire's, which they have not done, I think that to make them aware that there potentially is an issue with that, I think that maybe that would curb. I don't think they're trying to be a bad neighbor. I think he just rented down some places there. The guys are parking there at night.
The only one issue that I could see with it is somebody could jump on the bandwagon and go is it is hazardous waste type situation there with the tar. You know, if it was heating and making tar piles on the ground right there, then that becomes an issue.
Yeah. But I'm sure the trailer's all UDOT approved. It's a public trailer. I'm sure that that's not an issue, but I think at this point, if we made McGuire's aware that there's been a complaint, and I had actually had a copy in your, it was supposed to be in your packet, but I had redacted all the names on it, so it's gonna, if.
I think that would be very helpful, so that they can monitor that and self-police it. But we've had two complaints, isn't that correct?
Same well, complaint.
Same individuals?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to tell
the,
them?
The first complaint was last fall, about October.
The one.
And she sent that to me direct.
We did.
And I told her that we needed a formal complaint, written complaint.
And they came to our town and also voiced that's in the minutes.
And this one that came is a formal written complaint.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I'll show you a copy of it if you want. But
I think you should show that to the lawyers.
So you guys talk amongst it. Scott, you direct me. That's how it works.
Well, I like what we've said. I think that it warrants a trip to the McGuire's and a visit with them.
Okay. You'd like me to do that?
I do.
I will do that. I'll report back.
Okay. Take pictures.
Picture of
the tar truck.
I don't know that I'll be going in his property trespassing to get a picture of the tar truck. I'm going to the door and knocking.
And talking to the McGuire.
We're not to that point yet.
Right. Letting them know that there's been a written complaint.
Yeah. And I, like I said, I don't want to divulge who it is. I hope we can just handle it. But I mean, we do have it if we need it.
Yep.
In fact, if they listen to the minutes, they'll know.
Scott, did you get a copy that I sent to you of that about that formal complaint about the trailers on Little Sweden?
I believe so.
Okay. I forgot
I've
to put
that in my email, yes.
In the packet. I don't know if you want to talk about it, but we did actually finally get that.
We'll just put it on
the next agenda.
Okay. Because we didn't get it until today.
No.
So
No wonder I haven't seen it.
Oh, they sent it to you too, Kim? Because they sent the letter to me.
No, we're talking about another, different.
Little Sweden's popular.
Yeah, this is,
Yeah, no, I haven't gotten your anonymous letter. I mean, I got your email about the anonymous letter, but not that.
Never mind.
Yeah, this is a complete different one, different complaint.
Popular area.
It is.
The trailers are on Little Sweden Road?
840, or 1840 East Little Sweden. I'll just give you the address right now. You'll be able to see the formal complaint.
Oh, well, I know where it is.
Huh?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. All righty. Any other questions about the planning report?
Okay.
Thank you. Let's go to warrants and approval of warrants and announcements. Any questions on the warrants?
Eric, on the second page, $25 per hour for $400, is that for reading meters?
So the meter read is 25 an hour? Where are you looking, on Stormhaven or on Daniel Water?
Payroll. On the second page.
Okay, I'm on the second page. You looking under Daniel Municipal Water or Stormhaven?
Daniel Municipal Water.
Okay.
So that's
the meter reads
per hour for $400, is that?
That's other work, that's not the meter.
The 16 hours, if you look in the second column, there's 16 hours?
Right.
So that's,
I was wondering if that was reading meters or?
Nope, that's chlorine and pump checks.
Okay.
That's other.
So where does the meter reading show up on the that water system?
Next line down.
$75.
Correct.
And it's always the same.
You said it was 200 a month.
Yeah, Shelley's on there. There's two of us.
Okay. It takes two.
150 a month.
No, because there's actually another hour down on Stormhaven.
Gotcha.
Everything.
So you break it down between Stormhaven and
we do.
We do 75% and 25%. All of the costs, including postage, that kind of stuff.
Move to approve the warrants for March.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, let's go to agenda item number 9, approval of meeting minutes for March 4. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you.
See you.
See you next time.
You ready for a motion?
I let Eric finish reading through what he's got here.
Okay.
Almost there.
Yep.
You good, Robin?
Yes.
Okay, I'll call for a motion.
I make a motion to accept the minutes from, what is that, February?
March.
Or March, yeah, meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Yes.
There's a miss.
Okay, call for another motion on item number 10, or 11.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Any discussion?
Is there? Call for a second.
A second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Okay, so on.
Oh, yeah.